You'll be making your way to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read a couple verses from there to get us started this morning. A key text found in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11 and 12. It says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers," verse 12, "to equip the saints for the work of service, for building up the body of Christ." This is a key text in understanding what it means to be part of God's body, to be part of the congregation, and how the congregation functions and the way that it works. And this morning I want us to talk just a little bit about the idea of preparing to be a shepherd. And that's not because in a few weeks we're going to be appointing men to be elders or shepherds. It's not because in a few months the elders have plans to begin looking again for more shepherds. It's more about Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. And getting the concept of part of what we're trying to do here and part of our mission as the congregation of God's people here is to be working with what God gave us to equip saints for the work of service. That's all of us, for the work of ministry. That what we're doing, whether it's looking at the apostles' writing or the prophets' writings, whether it's what the evangelists do on a week-to-week basis or what the current shepherds do, part of the mission in all of that is for this equipping of the saints for service. I never make any kind of promises in terms of time frame when I begin what many people will call a series of sermons, but I do want to tell you that I want to go through a series of sermons and however long it takes, or whatever it's going to happen at various Sundays, where I discuss the idea of preparing to be a shepherd, what that takes, what that involves, and specifically what that involves at various age groups, whether we're talking about teenagers, young people, whether we're talking about people in their 20s or in their 30s or 40s, or people who are really at the time frame now where they should be in a position to be elders. I think it's important for us from time to time to look at these ideas, and not just when we're about to appoint people or not just when we're going to start looking for men who can serve, because the reality is this is a process that takes years and years and years and not just a few weeks. And it's important for us to think about this concept of equipping for service, that really the goal for all of us is not just to come and listen to a sermon, or not just listen to what the elders have said, or go to a Bible class and listen to a Bible class teacher. Really, the ultimate goal is that I am equipped for service in the kingdom of God. That ought to be my mission. And I am well aware that there are people, whether it's through their own fault or through the fault of others, that will never be able to serve as a shepherd. That there's no hindrance in that way in terms of us looking at these details and thinking about this text and Scripture, the concepts of shepherding in Scripture. However that can benefit you in whatever way that can benefit you is going to be good for all of us. But I do know this, if we don't start preparing, whatever stage we're in now, we're going to find it very difficult when the time comes to be ready. People don't just wake up and suddenly find themselves prepared to be a shepherd. That's not how it works. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of study. It takes a lot of planning and a lot of forethought. It takes great preparation. If we one day want to be a pastor, someone who's going to be part of the leadership of a congregation, the organization that God actually wants for his body. Over the past 150 years, I would say, maybe a little bit longer, there's been a great emphasis placed on preachers building up congregations. Let me explain what I mean by that. Some of you, like me, maybe when you were a child, sat down and your parents read J.D. Texas Preacher to you, or some other book about preachers that went throughout the country, going from place to place and preaching and not really making anything. A lot of them are getting paid by chickens or pigs or that sort of thing. And so this is a phase in the restoration movement, and where preachers were going around to places where they were needed, and they were helping congregations grow. And I believe over the years, brethren have realized that there's great benefit in paying a man to stay a local congregation, paying him to study and to teach God's word at a spot where he's not just bouncing around to different places, but there's a cohesiveness or a consistency that goes on when you have local preachers doing that work. But religious needs change over time. And what I believe congregations are realizing now is that although that is beneficial and it is good and it is important to have men dedicated to preaching and teaching, now the emphasis, as I see it from place to place where I go, is realizing the need for proper leadership. And sometimes not really being sure how to find that or how to acquire it. And that is why we have congregations that sometimes have existed for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years and yet still do not have shepherds, are still not really operating the way God intends for local congregations to operate. And we are extremely blessed at Climbwood. And I hope you realize that. Maybe some of you have been other places where there aren't shepherds and you're very aware of the blessing of having 10 shepherds here. And the numbers have changed over time. But the reality is it is a great blessing to have men in this position doing what God intends for local bodies to do. I'll just tell you from my own perspective, I think there's reasons why God has set this up very practically the way that he has. I don't have to understand them all, but through experience, I believe I see them. As a 34-year-old man, I'm simply not equipped to address things in a certain way that our elders are equipped to do that. And to just give you some examples of that, not necessarily specific examples, but examples I have witnessed in my own life, whether I'm with an elder or we're talking to somebody on the phone, whatever the situation might be, there are times I'm thinking, I don't know what to say to this person. But with one of the elders, it seems like they have no problem understanding what to say to the person. There's reasons for that. There's reasons why we need that. There's reasons why men can get in this position and they're able to address very difficult circumstances in ways that really I'm not capable of doing at this point. It's a lot easier, trust me. I don't enjoy having to get up here sometimes and generally speaking about certain types of sins or problems. But I will say this, it's a whole lot easier to get in the pulpit and generally speak of this sin or that sin or changes that need to be made than it is to go and to say to somebody, you are living in sin. And so I have a great deal of respect for what our elders do, what our shepherds accomplish, as they're trying to help this congregation grow. And the reality is, I need to be preparing for that later in my life. Others need to be preparing for that later in my life. And I certainly hope that I'll reach a point where I'm dealing with somebody, and whether it's a lack of courage at this point or a lack of experience, not being able really to speak in the same way they speak to somebody, I hope at some point I can reach a situation where I'm able to speak to people in that way. But I know if I don't work at it, it's not going to happen. And that's the importance of thinking about this, and all of us thinking about what we can accomplish and what we can do as servants, being equipped for the work of service, for the work of ministry, as is so intended by Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4. I want to begin this morning really just talking about what a shepherd looks like. This is nothing new or revolutionary. It's just simply looking at the text, looking at Scripture, and kind of acquiring that knowledge or that mindset that's going to allow us to propel forward later on to talk about how we're going to get there, how we're going to prepare for that as a teenager, as a young person, as a 20 or 30-year-old, how we're going to move along this process where we finally reach a point where we meet these qualifications, when we meet the character of what is required by God for someone who's going to lead in this capacity. It's not an easy thing to do, but God certainly expects that we are able to do it. The first of these, and really this speaks generally to all Christians, much of this, I think what I'm going to try to focus on is more shepherd-specific. But some of these things are very general, and in fact, the qualifications, aside from some of the family-type situations like needing to be married and have children, the qualifications are really things that all Christians should have. Self-control, not being a drunkard, those kinds of things, that all of us should be there. But there are some things that are very elder-specific. And when we think about a shepherd and what their job is and what they're trying to accomplish, it's important that we understand what they're supposed to be. In a sense, we should all be examples to the world. But a shepherd is to be trustworthy. They're to be trustworthy, humble leader. And in that kind of position, in that role, very specifically in Scripture, in Hebrews chapter 13, what we're told is they're an example. We look to them in the way that they live. We observe their faith, and we try to be like them. But shepherds, or one who is qualified to be a shepherd, they're going to realize that they are just stewards. They're not tyrants. They're not overlords. They're not going to drive their will over people. But in fact, they're really just God's stewards. And that's in fact what he says in Titus chapter 1. In verse 7, for an overseer, pastor, shepherd, elder, all the same thing in Scripture. He says, for an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He's a steward of God. He's a manager of sorts. He kind of is managing the household of God. That's the concept. He's not trying to be overbearing, trying to just get his way. And certainly some of the things that are mentioned, whether it's in Titus or whether it's in Timothy, or maybe in a critical way in places like Jeremiah 24 or Ezekiel, or it's talking about the way that the Israelite elders functioned in a very bad way, where they were greedy and they did push over people and take advantage of people. But we understand that's not the way that congregational elders are supposed to function. It takes the reality that we are supposed to be humble and lowly in our mind. And I want to come back to this idea in terms of maybe some of the difficulties of finding elders in just a few moments. But a shepherd is going to be someone who realizes they're just merely God's steward. They're trying to function in God's ways with God's word. And they're trying to help and lead other people in the same direction. They're also going to be people who are disciplined. So chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, if we keep reading. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Now, later on, we're going to talk a lot more about the concept of discipline and self-control and ways to acquire that. But this morning, I just merely want us to see the importance of the concept, of the idea, of being controlled in our behavior. And it might be whether you're in your 30s like I am or in your 20s, that's a challenge for you and you realize it's something that you have to work on. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be a shepherd one day. It means that you have some work to do. It means there's going to be some preparation, some planning that's going into the way that you walk through life as a Christian. They're not going to be someone who's quarrelsome, who's always causing problems. They're going to be the kind of person who's moderate, who listens to both sides of the story, who focuses on what is truly vital. And it might be that you see in your life that you don't live that sort of way yet. And what I want us to see is that it's okay. That doesn't mean that you're just never going to be a shepherd, that you're never going to be able to lead within a congregation. The reality is people can change. And we can decide we want to change our character. We want to change our qualities. And through work and through diligence, through preparation and planning, we can make that happen. The danger of what I'm talking about here is sometimes we never allow ourselves to feel like we're qualified. With the understanding of what Paul tells Titus here, that the overseer is God's steward, he's above reproach, he's to be someone who's humble. One of the great difficulties with some of these qualifications is men just feeling like they can never do it. I haven't really been around all that long preaching. But I will tell you this, one of the things I've had to do already as a preacher is try to encourage older men who are qualified that they need to serve. And they will come up with all kinds of reasons why they can't serve, why they shouldn't serve. It was hard on my daddy when he was an elder, or I just feel like this is not right in my life yet, or I haven't got this together quite yet. And I realize sometimes there are very legitimate reasons why a man feels like he can't serve yet. I get that. But that's not the end all of the conversation. It's a process. And maybe if you do recognize that right now you're not ready to serve, that doesn't mean that later on, 5 years later, you say the same thing. If you're qualified, you are needed. We're to be equipped for the work of service and ministry. And whatever way in which we can fulfill that, in whatever way we can serve, whether it's being a Bible class teacher or preparing things for Bible class or preaching or leading singing or being a shepherd, it's extremely important that we understand our part in the body. And not just that, but we prepare, we plan to do what we can do within the body of Christ, that we're working together as one of its members to bring everything together into unity, which is what Ephesians 4 talks about, that we're not just sitting on the sidelines and allowing the body to work around us. That's not God's intention for his people. And it can be very tempting with this concept of the need to be humble for someone to confuse that idea with the concept of admitting that they're qualified to be an elder. It's kind of this false humility. No, I'm just not ready to do that yet. I'm not prepared to do that. And of course, the concept is, you know, an elder is supposed to be humble. I'm not really ready for that. And the humble thing to do is to not put myself up as being ready to serve. There certainly can be a problem of someone putting themselves up to serve who's not qualified to be an elder. So I understand that. But the reality is the concept of desiring the office is something that should happen. It's not an excuse not to do it. And it's not humility to not serve where service is needed when you're able to serve in that capacity. It's deception in our own minds, and we keep ourselves from doing what we really should be doing. And sometimes, often, I believe it takes a lot of work for people to try to convince someone who really is qualified to serve in this way that they need to do it. And I understand sometimes there's a vetting process, and even in our own minds, we have to make sure we are ready. And so I get all that, but I'm talking about years and years and years sometimes with some men who are qualified, who are prepared, who are ready through their own study and diligence, but yet won't step up to do what needs to be done. I would suggest to you this morning that that's not the kind of humility that we're talking about here. And if that's the issue, we need to get over that issue. Shepherds are trustworthy people. They're humble leaders. They're disciplined. They're stewards. And we need them desperately. As I said earlier, we're very blessed here. Some of you might not be from here. I know we have some visitors here with us this morning. We're glad that you have come our way. And maybe it is you're going to go home to a congregation where there are no elders, or maybe there's a congregation that you're part of that has 150, 160 people and has two elders, because that's the minimum, and that's what you have to get to have elders. We need to do better than that, ladies and gentlemen. These qualifications are what God wants from his people. It's what he expects from the body. And I am committed to the idea that we need to be preparing for that in a very strong sort of way. Let me make a suggestion to you, one I've made before, that a lot of times when we're dealing with our young people, we might say something like, well, maybe he'll grow up and be a preacher one day. That's great. We need a lot of preachers. But you know what I'd rather hear? Maybe he'll grow up and be an elder one day. We need a lot of elders. We need a lot of shepherds. In fact, as you can see from a group like this, we need a lot more shepherds than we do preachers. It's a great need within the body of Christ. And there are places in which it is a desperate need. There are places that I've been in my life for a long period of time, which I won't name, that still do not have elders, even though they've existed for over 50 years. That's a problem. We become so committed to many things within Scripture and many of the doctrines within the pages of Scripture. When it comes to the organization of the Lord's church, a very significant, important matter within Scripture, how is it that groups can exist for so long without fulfilling that? Now, sometimes it's because they really don't have people who are qualified. It's a church of 15 people or 20 people. I get that. Sometimes it's because people don't want to lose control, and so they find every way possible to not allow elders to be over the church. And our perspective sometimes can warp the way we think. Whether it's a man himself not wanting to be an elder, or whether it's others telling him he shouldn't be when really he's qualified because they don't want to lose the control they have. I've seen it. And likely some of you have as well. And while I don't really intend to go down that road this morning, what I really want us to understand is this is a very important matter, and it's something that we should all be thinking about, we should all be preparing for, whether or not you end up 55 years old and are able to serve in that capacity or not. I guarantee you, if you're preparing for that, if you're planning for it, whether it ever happens for you, you're going to be better off. It may be that you're fully qualified and you're in a congregation that has a lot of elders and it's never thought of to make you an elder. You can still serve. You can still lead in your own way. You can still be a trustworthy person. You can still have the humility that becomes an example to other people, the kind of example that is needed whether or not you hold an official position as a shepherd or not. We need people of great commitment. A shepherd is someone who is diligent, who is watchful. This is what Paul told the elders in Ephesus before he departed from them in Acts 20, something that was really important for them. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28, he says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the congregation of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears." Shepherds are going to be people who are dedicated, who are detail-oriented. And I don't mean that they have to be an accountant or have to be super organized in their home or that sort of thing, but it's what Paul's talking about here, that they are alert, they are aware, they are conscious of what's happening with the congregation. You have to be that kind of person to be a shepherd. You have to be in tune with people's lives. And so maybe it is I need to be reaching out more at this age, getting to know people better, even in my 30s. Getting more aware of people and their situations and getting used to that sort of behavior so that when I get to the point where I am qualified one day to be an elder, that's already a part of who I am. That we're watching out for the wolves, watching out even for those who might arise within our own congregation who might cause problems and dissension and divisions. We realize the seriousness of where we're headed and what we have to do when we give account to God one day, as it talks about in Hebrews 13 and verse 17. They're going to be men who are hard working. Paul talks about this as well in Acts 20. "In all things," he says, "I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Not only are these men hard working, diligent, watchful, but they're also sacrificial. There might be some of these that are difficult for us. Maybe it is we aren't as sacrificial as we need to be with our time. I assure you, just from observation, and some of you have seen this as well, if you're a shepherd one day, you're going to have to be sacrificial with your time. This is what Paul explains to these elders before he departs from them. This is what it's going to be like. It's going to be hard work. It's going to take diligence. You're going to serve with tears. There's going to be things that are difficult. It's going to take sacrifice. And what I'm trying to get us to see this morning is I'm not going to wake up and be 55 years old and suddenly have all of this. And you aren't either. If we think that we can kind of coast through life and we can show up every week and we can listen to some sermons and go to Bible class and read our Bible occasionally, and then suddenly one day we're going to wake up and say, "Hey, I'm ready to be a shepherd." We aren't fully understanding what Paul is saying in Acts 20. And we aren't comprehending what's being said to us in places like Titus 1 and 1 Timothy 3 about the seriousness of this position and what it takes to get there and what it takes to be that. And if we do wake up one day and they want to make us a shepherd and we haven't been preparing, we haven't been planning, I think some bad things can happen. And I think we've seen that before as well, many of us. That maybe some of the pieces are there, but in reality, when we begin to dig deeper, and we begin to have things exposed, we realize maybe the person really wasn't ready for that position. Dangerous. It's scary. And what I want us to see, whether it's in this sermon or some of the ones that are going to follow, is our decisions, wherever we are, the types of things that we do, and the kind of life that we're living, all of this is influencing where we want to be later on. Whether you're a young woman or a young man sitting here this morning, you're not even thinking about marriage yet. You're not thinking about what you're going to do with your life and your career yet. All of those decisions are going to wrap up and to sum up into what matters for these types of things later. Whether you're in your 20s and your 30s and you're thinking about where you want to move and the kind of job you want to have and how you're going to raise your family, something that's very important to all of us when we begin having kids. How are we going to do this? Are we going to use the wisdom of Scripture? Are we going to do things God's ways? All of these types of decisions matter later on. When this need is here, and it becomes very pertinent to our life. And if we wait until then to think seriously about it, we're not going to be the one that's being appointed, hopefully, because we won't be ready. And that's not what we want for the body of Christ. It takes a lot of work to have the character and the quality, and I'm not trying to push people away from it. Quite the opposite. I want us to think about the need to be preparing for it now. Some of us, maybe, we're tired Sunday morning. We're tired Wednesdays. What are we thinking about? What is the long-term, big picture of the decisions we're making about where we're going to be in those situations? And we might think, well, it's not just a big deal. It's one choice here. It's one choice there. Where is it leading us to where we're going to be when we're 55, 60, 65 years old? It's not necessarily always the question, is it right or is it wrong? Is it sinful or is it not sinful? It's really the question of what is best for me and how am I going to grow and how am I going to be equipped for the work of service in the kingdom of God? How am I going to accomplish this? How am I going to become disciplined and self-controlled? All of these things come together into decisions that we make. And elders are the kind of people who are ready to act. This is sort of what I was talking about earlier. There have been times where I encounter someone or someone asks me a question, more particularly in dealing with difficulties in their life. And I'll tell you what I do in those situations often when I don't feel prepared. I start calling elders because they know what to do. And maybe that surprises you. I'm not saying I always do that. There's times when I feel like I can handle something. But there are times, you know what? Elders are ready to act. They know the flock. They know the sorts of things that need to be said and the sorts of things that need to be done. And that doesn't mean they're perfect men or they never need some guidance from anyone else. But the reality is the reason they're in that position is they're the kind of men who are ready to take action. They know the need to take action. They understand what's at stake. And when Paul writes to Titus about this concept with elders, he's dealing with the importance of confronting false doctrine. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced. There are these people out here, Paul says, they're teaching false doctrine. And these men who we're appointing as shepherds, they better be able to counteract that. They better be men of action who are willing to stand up and say, that's wrong. And if we're honest about it, and I'll just be honest with you right now, there's times in which I don't feel capable of doing that, at least with certain circumstances, because maybe my lack of experience or my lack of knowledge with a person, but the elders are there for that reason. And I better be preparing my life. We better all be preparing our lives where we can get to a point where we're able to do this in a high-functioning way. We can go to someone and say, you know, you're teaching error. And that's not popular in our world. People don't like to hear that. You go and you tell somebody what they're saying is not true, probably not going to get a really good reaction most of the time. And sometimes for me, it's not necessarily the information that I don't know. It's more the attitude I'm worried about. That I get in that discussion with somebody and it frustrates me. It aggravates me. But the elder is patient. The elder is long-suffering. He knows how to shepherd. He's not a bulldozer that just runs over people. He's not just trying to win an argument. He's trying to win a soul. And so what I'm saying is sometimes maybe if we aren't equipped in that way yet, that's what we should be endeavoring for. And we need to see the need for that and the importance of what our shepherds do. And the reality that more and more of us need to be ready to do that as we grow in our spiritual lives. I hope that you'll be encouraged to come back and listen to some of these other sermons. The next one I'm going to do is going to be about teenagers and young people and their need to be preparing even at their age. The significance, really the great benefit, the head start they'll get if they're preparing when they're 13, 14, 15 years old, if they're being encouraged by their parents to start this process at that age. It's amazing what can be accomplished. One of the most, one of the best Bible students, I should say, that I know, someone I have great respect for, the stories about him are almost legendary. But I'll tell you what makes him so great. It's a man I know. He's a preacher, he's a teacher. He knows the Bible inside and out better than anyone I've ever seen in my life. Are things like his parents would have one of his siblings mow the yard because he was going to study his Bible instead. And he wanted to do it. He was diligent in it. And they didn't want to take him away from him studying Scripture, and so they'd have his sister or his brother go do it instead. And this guy, he can quote the most obscure things out of the prophets and anywhere else you can ever imagine because he knows Scripture. And he dedicated himself to it. And he prepared himself to do what he's doing. Great example for people like me. And so when I'm thinking about this, I want to think, am I preparing myself to serve? Are you preparing yourself to serve? This is not a question that you have to answer right this second. Like many of our sermons, we're trying to persuade you to make a decision right now. And there's a sense in which I want to do that. I want you to decide right now you want to prepare for this work. But this is a long-term sort of thing. This is a big-picture idea. Am I going to set out the course of my life where I end up one day, with whether or not I'm chosen, but I'm going to be ready to be a leader, to serve in the kingdom? The starting place for you this morning might be to decide you're going to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, you're not in the right place. You need to get in the right place with God. You don't have a relationship with Him. If you are not in Jesus Christ, if you've not sacrificed yourself, given up your life, been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sin, and risen up in newness of life, if you haven't done that yet, then according to Scripture, you're not in a relationship with God. You're separated from Him. And we are prepared. We'd love to help you fix that this morning. You can make that decision right now, and we will baptize you in just a few moments. If you're already a saint, if you're already one of God's holy ones, and you realize maybe there's some things amiss in your life, you haven't been living the way that you should live, you aren't living the kind of life that's preparing you for what we're talking about here, whether it's serving as an elder or just being a diligent, faithful Christian, you realize there's some things wrong. Don't wait to make that right. One of the reasons that we come together on a regular basis, weekly, Sundays and Wednesdays, the purpose of that is to be edified, to be encouraged. And one of the things that we can do in that process is admit when we have problems and help build each other up. Can we help you do that this morning? Why don't you come now as we stand and we sing together. Oh,